Good day, friends. Welcome back to Bible Sunshine. I hope you're having a good day, and I trust that God's grace and mercy are blessing you today, and that His truth will encourage your heart. So open your Bible with me to Joshua chapter 11, or find it on your phone, and let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our study together. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us, and that we can cast all our care on you because you care for us. Encourage our hearts today in your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are on the observation stage of studying Joshua chapter 11. And yesterday, we left off with verse 6. These very encouraging words that say, "But the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid." Isn't that great? "Do not be afraid because of them. For tomorrow, about this time, I will deliver all of them slain before Israel. You shall hamstring their horses and burn their chariots with fire." So God is telling Joshua and the people, do not be afraid. And question number 4 on observation says, why did the Lord tell Joshua not to fear, and what did he prophesy would happen? Well, he told Joshua not to fear because he would deliver all those kings and armies slain before Israel. He prophesied that Joshua would hamstring the horses and burn the chariots with fire. So he was disabling their military might by disabling the horses, and which pulled the chariots. He was causing them to be incapacitated where they could not fight. So God gave Joshua reason to not fear. He would take care of this. Now, keep in mind, the book of Joshua is a book of military warfare in God's work, in God's kingdom here in the Old Testament. And so some drastic measures were taken here, but these enemies were coming against Joshua, and God had a solution for him. He could help him. He would help him. Let me hasten to add an application. God does not want us to fear. He wants us to trust in Him. He wants us to rely on Him. Well, look at verses 7 through 9. So Joshua and all the people of war with him came against them suddenly by the waters of Merom, and they attacked them. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who defeated them and chased them to greater Sidon, to the brook Misrephoth, and to the valley of Mizpah eastward. They attacked them until they left none of them remaining. So Joshua did to them as the Lord had told him. He hamstrung their horses and burned their chariots with fire. Well, question 5 on observation just lists some of these details. Several words here graphically describe the battle. List each word or phrase. All right, so let me do that. Going back to verse 7, and let's just one by one list the phrases. Came against them suddenly. A great military strategy. Surprise attack. Secondly, he attacked them. Thirdly, he delivered them into the hand of Israel. The Lord did that. He delivered the enemies into the hand of Israel, and the Lord defeated them. So Joshua was with his army, but it's God who is at work here behind the scenes in a powerful way. And how about this? Not only did he defeat them, but he chased them to greater Sidon. That would be up to the northwest. He chased them and to the brook Misrephoth, and to the valley of Mizpah eastward. So he chased them to the northwest and the northeast. And then he attacked them until they left none of them remaining. Attacked until none remaining. he hamstrung their horses and he burned their chariots. So here he's destroying enemy warfare power. He's destroying them in a powerful way. Well, I don't know if this shows too well, but notice this map on Joshua's northern campaign. And look at what we see here. Remember, they came together at Hazor, and Hazor is north. Hazor is north of the Sea of Galilee. So here is the Sea of Galilee. We go north. Here's Hazor. And you see this little red line? This red line that goes this way, and then one that goes this way. Here they're going to Greater Sidon, here to Misrephoth. So he's spreading the enemy out both directions. Really interesting, this military might that God effected, that he worked out. The enemy is scattering. They're going both directions. It's like Joshua put a division between them. So he chased them to Greater Sidon, that's the book Misrephoth, and to the valley of Mizpah, eastward. So Misrephoth and Mizpah, west and east. Joshua is attacking, and the Lord is working, and they are fleeing from before them. Well, from verse 8, we have question 6. Which way did Joshua rout the enemies? Well, that's what we've just been showing here. Northwest and northeast from Merom. It was approximately, here they were at Hazor, but then they gathered at the waters of Merom. They gathered here, and then the battle was taking place, and they flew northwest and northeast. Approximately 25 miles. That seems like nothing to us, but when you're on foot and you're with an army, that's a long distance, a great distance. All right, notice question number 7 from verses 10 through 14. Which words and phrases are repeated here? Again, we're going to see these warfare words, this language of warfare. So verse 10, Joshua turned back at that time and took Hazor. So he had been leading people in this flight to the northwest here, or the northeast, but he turned back to Hazor. He turned back, and hopefully you can find Hazor on a map in your Bible. He turned back. He struck its king with the sword, for Hazor was formerly the head of all those kingdoms. Hazor was a very influential city over these other kings. And it is a significant archaeological find as well. Because look at what Joshua did here. Verse 11, they struck all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was none left breathing. Then he burned Hazor with fire. So all the cities of those kings and all their kings Joshua took and struck with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed them as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded. Verse 13, but as for the cities that stood on their mounds, Israel burned none of them except Hazor only, which Joshua burned. And all the spoil of these cities and the livestock the children of Israel took as booty for themselves, but they struck every man with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, and they left none breathing. So notice these things that keep repeating here. Struck with the edge of the sword. Utterly destroying, burned and burned with fire, destroyed, left none breathing. Joshua was a powerful, a mighty warrior, but he didn't battle in his own strength. He was battling in God's strength. God was working with him and for him to accomplish his will and purpose. So verse 8 is a very, or question number 8 points to a very significant truth to help us understand the whole book of Joshua. What is the chain of command here? Very interesting. Notice verse 12. All the cities of those kings and all their kings Joshua took and struck with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed them. Get this. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded. All right, look at verse 15. As the Lord had commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua. And so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. A very clear chain of command here. The Lord commanded Moses to engage this warfare. Moses then commanded Joshua. He passed on the baton of truth. And then Joshua did as the Lord commanded. So Joshua was under authority, a dual authority, we might say. He was under the commands from Moses, but more than that, he was under the commands from the Lord of hosts. So he was following through. You know, I believe that when God uses people, they have an understanding of authority and of chain of command. We have in our society today an incredible breakdown of authority. And people in authority positions established by God are not respected and they're disregarded. It is amazing to watch rioters jump on top of police cars or set them on fire. An absolute breakdown of authority. And God has established authority. We don't have to fear authority when we are doing that which is the right thing to do. God will judge authority figures that go outside of his boundaries. And sometimes government leaders do that, and they will be judged. They will be disciplined. But you know, what we see today is producing chaos, and it's nothing new. There is nothing new at all. Lucifer rebelled against God and was cast out of heaven. A committed Christian has a characteristic of being submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And so, as believers in Jesus Christ, we should each day understand that we don't live unto ourselves. It is unto the Lord. It's not about us. It's about him. And I appreciate here that Joshua lived under this chain of command, and he followed through what God wanted him to do. Remember Saul of Tarsus rebelling against God's authority, against God's Messiah, Jesus Christ. And he said on the road to Damascus, "Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus." And there was a mighty spiritual transaction that took place because Saul of Tarsus, the Christian killer, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And here this hardened man, though religious, became submissive to the authority of the resurrected Christ. So we too should be submitted to the authority of the resurrected Christ. I love this chain of command idea right here. Well, verses 16 and 17. How extensive were Joshua's conquests? And what are the geographical areas identified here? Well, I would encourage you to look at a map for that. I have a map on my study sheets that I just like to show you. It is a crude little map that I drew up, but it might help you to understand how we can figure this out. So here is my little map. Here is the Sea of Galilee. Here is the Jordan River. Here is the Dead Sea. Remember I said yesterday the Sea of Galilee is heart-shaped, the Dead Sea sort of like a finger oblong shape. Well, notice this. from verses 16 and 17, this gives a picture, I'll come back to this map, of Joshua's conquest, the extent of it. Joshua took all this land, the mountain country, all the south, all the land of Goshen, the lowland, the Jordan Plain, the mountains of Israel and its lowlands, from Mount Halak in the ascent to Seir, even as far as Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon below Mount Hermon. He captured all their kings and struck them down and killed them. Well, here is Mount Seir way in the south. Here is Mount Hermon and Baal Gad way to the north. From south to north in Israel, Joshua conquered. And here we have the lowland, the Shephelah, the mountain country. We have the Negev, the south. Over here, Goshen. Here's Mount Halak, also in the south. And the Arabahs, the valley around the Jordan River and below the Dead Sea. The Arabah, the lowlands. So look how it...